hear God's holy and inspired word, the Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you, whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The text that we wish to meditate upon prior to our celebration of the Lord's Supper is verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So far then, the reading of God's holy word and the reading of our text. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all the animals that describe something of the characteristic of Jesus Christ, I think a lamb is the most endearing. We read in Scripture on several occasions that the Lord Jesus Christ is described like a lamb, or like the Lamb of God, or like the Lamb who was slain. In fact, this is what we have here in our text, John 1, verse 29, because there it does speak indeed of the Lamb of God, who, so we are told, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And I want to speak to you about this briefly, as we prepare ourselves finally for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And I want to do it in the following way, as theme: behold the Lamb of God. First, the call to focus. Secondly, the call to consider. And then thirdly, the call to remember. Our congregation, John the Baptist was an itinerant preacher that showed up in Israel one day. Unexpected, no one had ever heard of him before. He preached many sermons. However, not much of his messages are recorded in the scriptures. Some say that, by and large, he was a preacher of doom and gloom because he was always talking about the axe being laid at the root of the tree, or that there is that need for repenting of sin. One thing that can be said about him, however, is that he did not want to draw attention to himself, but rather he wanted to draw all the attention to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And our text is, of course, a good example of this. He saw Jesus coming to him, and immediately he has his listeners focus their attention on Jesus. And he does this in our text by this one single word, behold. And it stands as the first word that John the Baptist speaks in his message. Behold. Now this means more than just, well, have a look, or see, or glance, or take notice. No, it means far more than that. Particularly that particular word. It means pay attention, pay all of your attention to Him, draw all of your attention away from anything else, and focus entirely on Him and on Him alone. Behold, focus your eyes exclusively on Him. Don't look anywhere else or to anyone else. Give full attention. Give undivided attention to Jesus. Behold. And so, dear brother and sister in the Lord, this is also what you need to do in your final preparations for coming to the table of the Lord. You must focus exclusively on Jesus. You must now look away from yourself. You must look away from all others all around you and focus entirely on Jesus and on Jesus alone. For you see, it also counts. As the Lord's table is prepared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper says it in this way, which means basically the same thing. And let me just read it. Let us lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of this heavenly Father, where all the articles of our faith lead us. In other words, let the eye of faith and let the eyes of your heart focus on Jesus. At this point, the preacher is not important. The people around you are not important. The church windows and what is going on outside is not important. Jesus is. Behold Him. It is the call to focus. Secondly, it is a call to consider. Notice that John the Baptist does not say, behold Jesus. That would be a very powerful call in itself already, indeed. But he says, behold the Lamb of God. Here he calls Jesus the Lamb of God, you see. And this is very significant for you and me to consider, particularly at this hour. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Or you could also say it that He is the one that has been provided by God. One day, you know the story, one day Abram and his son Isaac went up Mount Moriah to sacrifice to the Lord God. Abram had the pot of fire and the knife in his hands. And Isaac carried the firewood on his back. At a certain point, however, Isaac asked his father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Then Abram answered this way, my son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And this is therefore the first thing that you must consider about the Lord Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He has been given to us by God. God has provided Him for us. And so, dear people, Jesus, the Savior, is God's gift to us. It's God's gift to us. God has provided him for you and for me. As such, the call to you this hour is that you honor God for his provisions, you see. That you honor him for his gifts. And that you would do so publicly as well. You have the opportunity to do this by coming to the table of the Lord today. Consider him, that is, Jesus, consider him as God's great gift, as God's wonderful gift, given to you from the very heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The other thing to consider is that he is called the Lamb of God. Now, why is Jesus compared or likened to a lamb? Well, it could tell you something about the looks of a lamb. I could tell you something about the feel of a lamb and the characteristics of a lamb. And all of them are rather attractive, I must say. But I believe that Jesus is likened to a lamb because God made a lamb central to sacrificing and offering. Think of the thousands and thousands of lambs that were slain and sacrificed and their blood painted on the doorposts and on the lintels of Hebrew homes just before they left the land of Egypt. For each Hebrew family, there was this Passover lamb. A lamb, so I'm told, is the most sacrificable animal. Philip Keller, a shepherd and an author of some very good books, tell us that as a sheep rancher, the so-called killing season was a time of personal anguish for him. Killing season. And he says, and I want to quote this, and boys and girls, listen carefully to what Philip Keller, and perhaps you have read him already, but just listen carefully to what he has to say. I quote, "The killing of a lamb was no easy thing for me, no light task, no careless, casual incident. The little creatures are so silent in the hands of their owner. They do not bleat or scream in protest. It is almost as if they quietly acquiesce to their own death. As the killing knife severs the jugular vein from which the warm lifeblood flows, there is not a sound. The little, innocent life lived so briefly, so fleetingly, for a few moments, is poured out in but a few brief moments. They are born to die." So far, Philip Keller. You can understand now, can't you, why Jesus is so much likened to a lamb. He presents himself so sacrificable. When sacrificed, he offered no resistance. He uttered no complaint. There was no protest from him at all. He quietly acquiesced to his death. As Isaiah the prophet said it already, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And so, dear people, this is what we are called to consider this hour. How Jesus, the Lamb of God, meekly, submissively, tenderly silent and movingly peaceful, gave himself to be sacrificed. Like an innocent lamb, he was born to die for you and for me. This brings me to my third point, the call to remember. So our text goes, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You are called to focus by the word "behold." You are called to consider by knowing Him to be the Lamb of God. Now you must also remember Him. How must you do this, you might ask? Is it enough just to sit back and reflect in your mind as to what He has done? Well, that's good to do. That's good to do. But that's really not good enough, though. Because this could be called a passive sort of remembering. However, you are called this morning, this day, to remember Him actively. In other words, an act of remembering is to be called for. Even as Jesus Himself once spoke it of celebrating the Lord's Supper, do, and the underlining is under do this in remembrance of Me. And what it means with that, of course, is that you are to remember Him, or you could also say you are to commemorate Him. How? By partaking of the Lord's Supper. What is it then that you are to remember Him through it actively? What is it that you are to commemorate? Well, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the one who takes away the sin of the world, who has taken away your sin. And what John the Baptist means here is that Jesus does not merely take away the sin of the nation, that is, of the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation, but the sin of men and of women, the sins of boys, the sins of girls, from every tribe and nation language in this world. In other words, salvation by Jesus Christ is not restricted just to the Jews, but to non-Jews as well. They too can be saved. How? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you and I, being saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we are called to actively remember Him. This is what we are called to do this morning, dear people. This is what we are called to do when we commemorate what He has done as the Lamb of God. Now, as we come to the Lord's Supper table this hour, let us do just that. Let us do just that. We will remember, we will commemorate Jesus Christ, the innocent, loving, silent, peaceful Lamb of God, as the one who has taken away our sin. It is now your call to remember Him. Return now to your homes and receive the blessings of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all. Amen.